It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome on, welcome on. What is, who did that? What was that?
Wasn't me.
All right, take two. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only podcast that features our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Chaz. How you doing? Long time no speak, at least on the podcast.
I know. This is our first iteration of the podcast in 2020. We haven't done an episode since.
And nothing has happened,
nothing has happened in the world since our last podcast.
Everything is smooth sailing.
It's been 8 months, but somehow it's like 5 years is really how things feel. And football's back. Kind of, we think. Who knows? There was college football the other night. I watched some highlights of that. That was fun.
There was?
Who played? Austin TV and Central something?
Central Arkansas.
Whoa!
Austin P. What's their last name?
That?
The voice of God.
I guess we have some special guests that decided to not wait for introductions. So why don't we go ahead and welcome in our special guest for tonight's episode, Mr. Joe Mancuso and Matthew Gelfshin. Welcome, boys.
Great to be here, as always.
I'm overeager. I just got the email that said the draft is tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, that's correct.
Did you see that come through?
Oh man.
That's crazy because I've done very little work in preparation for the draft. I don't know about you guys.
I don't believe it for a second, Chaz.
I really haven't.
I was gonna bring that up too. I find it hard to believe that Chaz has done very little work. Like you at least devoted an hour of headspace to this. And in that hour, I'm sure you came up with some crazy strategy that you probably said, okay, I think this could work. I'm going to do this.
If I've devoted
and
an hour,
that's just enough time.
An hour at one time. Uh-huh. It's been like 30 second chunks here and there. I'm not outside of what I did. I just took my players at the end of last season. I throw in my notepad, just to be like, here are players that I like for next year. I took that. I rectified it with some ranking lists that I get myself. And then I put together a small list of players that I like. I don't have a strategy going into this year. That's not true. I have a strategy, but it's not a traditional strategy like you guys are thinking. It's a strategy that I'm thinking of just because I haven't done anything work to prepare. So I'm basically going to go, here's what I'm doing.
What's your definition of a traditional strategy? Because you have the most unconventional strategies of everybody in the league. So is it a traditional strategy in the sense that it's a non-traditional Chaz strategy or a non-traditional strategy by our definition?
Probably both. It's something that I don't think people necessarily think about doing when they're constructing their roster.
You're stacking all.
I'm fairly certain whatever he's going to do is illegal in Utah.
he's stacking one team. Ravens. He's stacking all Ravens because he likes Lamar.
Making this prediction of a Chaz stack for the last two or three years, and I feel like this could be the year. Perhaps
would it be this year? Because all of a sudden, if I stack one team and that team gets canceled, I'm fucked.
Yeah, so it feels like not the year to do that.
Not the year to do
Which
that.
Is exactly yes.
this
why.
Is real, this, right. Exactly why it will happen.
Right, just like the year you decide to go for all the big running backs, one of them was Le'Veon Bell, and that was not the time to be getting Le'Veon Bell in your drafts. No. So yeah, this is not the stack year if there ever was one. But hey, if your team is healthy through the whole season,
could work out well. We'll see. Yeah. So let's talk about today's topic. We're here, as always, as is tradition. This is our third year in a row doing this. Maybe just second. Third year in a row. That we are doing our predictions episode of what will happen in tomorrow's draft. And obviously, with all the chaos in the world, We don't even know if there's going to be really a full season. So this might be the best part of our fantasy year is tomorrow's draft.
Best day is draft day. And the fact that we made it here with full hopes and dreams ahead of us for at least a couple days and weeks, it's all I really wanted.
Yeah, it's I said to Kat this morning. I'm like, are we drafting tomorrow? And she's like, I think so. And that's why I texted the group chat. And there it is. I could not even tell you this past week when we were drafting. If you had asked me like what day are we drafting, I would have been like September 4th. I really had no idea that we were drafting tomorrow. So it's come fast for me, which is pleasant. And then I guess we'll see how things go. So how do we want to flow this? We want to give everybody throw out a prediction. We just want to talk general strategy. What are we thinking?
Well, let's go around and everybody gives one prediction first.
We'll see where the night takes us.
So I'll start. My prediction is that I will end up with the four players that I am targeting. because this year, more than ever, I don't care. And so I'm going to pay for the players that I want on my team, regardless of how it affects the rest of my draft, because I'm looking at this year as a throwaway year. Because I don't think we're going to finish the year anyway. So I might as well assemble the team that I want.
So Chaz, if I bid up Lamar Jackson to $50, you're going to go 51.
If you think I'm going after Lamar Jackson, sure, go ahead.
It's back to 2012 Aaron Rodgers.
You won't know who I'm going after because I'll be bidding on most people. So you're not going to know who I want until it's like the final people. And then even then, maybe I'm just fucking with you guys. Who knows? You won't know. I won't tell you until after the fact. I will, however, just to prove that I'm not lying about who I selected, I will be writing down who I'm planning on drafting on a piece of paper, folding it up, and then putting an envelope for Kat that she won't be able to touch until we're done. But at least that way we'll have accurate data saying that this is who I plan on drafting and whether or not I was able to follow through.
Don't take any chances with Kat. Nail to high note right now. We'll find out for sure in a couple days.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, with the make sure you FedEx it or UPS it instead of post office because it might not make it.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just mail it. That way, it guarantees that it. Maybe I'll do that.
Great prediction, though.
All right, Gelch or Joe?
Yeah. So I've got. Go ahead. I've got a bunch of predictions, and I'll save maybe a rapid fire round of predictions for later. Because what I did was I went through and made a prediction for one of the owners, except for myself. And then I had some general ones. And actually, so the first one, though, what I'll do is I'll throw out an over-under, and then we can each perhaps make a prediction on it, which was number of players from Kat's championship team last year that she drafts again. I'm going to set the over-under at 5.
Ooh, that's tough. I was thinking 5. I had 5 in my head.
I was thinking 4.
I was thinking 3.
So I'm gonna go under.
I'm gonna say under.
Well, like, are we talking like
main pieces,
players that she won the title with? Main
pieces. Yeah, like Higbee would count. Higbee would count because I think she started him a lot down the stretch. Kyler, Rodgers, which you won't get. Cooper Kupp, Thielen.
Who were her running backs and receivers?
Drake.
McCaffrey, Drake.
Yeah. And she really McCaffrey seems like a given that she'll
I don't know what's going to happen with McCaffrey. It's weird because this is making it harder because I think Kat is so cute. It's loyal to her charges. I would be shocked if she didn't get Kyler back. But she really likes Kyler.
I was initially going to set the line at 4.5, and I just at the last second changed it to 5. But perhaps 4.5 would have been an appropriate one with I know I heard going 4, Mancuso thinking 5. Chaz, did I hear you say, did you think 3?
I was thinking 3, but
okay.
Yeah.
So one thing I'll just say what's interesting is I feel like she wants to demonstrate that loyalty, but for her to get McCaffrey will potentially compromise her ability to get those other players because I'm guessing she's going to have to spend more on Kyler this year than she did, say, last year, certainly a Higbee or a Drake. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
I think she went after McCaffrey last year when he didn't have any success for her in the past, and that's like her thing to do, though, is to like take her anchors and just rerun it. I don't think there's anybody that's going to outbid her for McCaffrey tomorrow, because she took a big chance on him, had success with him. And he's projected to be the top pick again. I think she's going to go back to that.
Yeah.
Do you think he goes for over 65 and sets a new record?
I could see him topping out at 67.
No, I don't.
If she really wants him, I could see that.
I think this league has pretty much proven that we have a ceiling for how high people are really willing to go for the top person. I don't think we're going to get much higher than that.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Just my two cents. All right. So my turn now, or is it Joe's turn?
You go, Chief.
All right. I'll go. All right. Here we go. I predict that Lamar and Mahomes each go for at least $30.
Whoa.
I don't know which one will go higher. And I don't know how long it's been since a quarterback went for $30, but I just feel like this year, with the uncertainty of COVID, with people not really sure about rookies or players changing teams and this and that, we don't know how some of these rookies are going to be looking. I think there's going to be a decent number of people that are going to say to themselves, oh yeah, if Lamar is going for $20, I'll go 21 for Lamar. I'll go 22 or 23 or 24. And I think there's going to be a decent number of people that do that, just because these guys are familiar. They're fun to own if you own them. And yeah, I just think this is the year that a quarterback goes for over $30.
I mean, I could definitely see Lamar getting there. I don't know if Mahomes will also get there.
Mahomes only went for 21 last year.
Recency bias.
And that was coming off of...
remember, we thought he was going to go for, like, way more. We thought he was going to go for, like, mid-20s. So.
We did. I wonder when the pendulum swings back in terms of people paying for quarterbacks again. And I feel like this is the year where, just because of how fun those guys are to own, A, and B, just we're in a different, unique year. So I feel like it's not going to be exorbitant. Like, we're not going in the 40s or anything, but could Lamar Jackson go for $32, $33? I absolutely think so.
That's fair. I'll just piggyback off that real quick and say one of the predictions I had written down was that four quarterbacks will go in double digits this year.
Like above $10?
Which four exactly?
Has that not happened before? I feel like that's easy money.
In the past, it might have. In the earlier years.
In the past, it's happened many times, but not recently.
Was last year only two, Joe?
I think so.
I want to say Mahomes and maybe Watson last year.
Yeah, I think that's right. Watson maybe went for like $11 or $12.
So, So anyway, I'm gonna say four quarterbacks go double digits.
I bet you Watson is one of those. I bet you it's like it's Lamar, Mahomes, Watson, and
a lot of love for Dak.
People love Dak. People love Dak this year.
I don't know that the league is going to love Dak.
I could see Murray going for double digits.
Yeah, if it takes is a little bidding war, and before you know it, Kyler Murray's up to $7-$8, and it's like, if Kat really wants him, she's going to click for $9. And yeah, I could absolutely see that. It's hard to predict. You never know who's going to like who.
Yeah, so Watson went for 13 last year, and then nobody else went after over 8. So it was the last 2 years were very tepid in the quarterback market.
Joe, you're
at the least. My prediction was my first one was going to be that not one, but two players go for at least 65. And so just for historical context, Heine opened the league in 2010 by going 65 for Chris Johnson. And since we have not had a player go for 65, we've had, I think, 3 or 4 go for 64 in the last few years. But no one's been willing to click the button on 65. So McCaffrey will go. And then whoever is the last of the top tier to go will also go for probably exactly 65. I'm going to say probably like 66 or 67 for McCaffrey.
I will be curious to see that, considering I'm going to reveal a little bit of my strategy here, but I don't really care. I will not be in on any of those high-priced guys this year. Mm. So whoever gets them, ooh, they can bid them up, but I will not be somebody bidding those guys up this year. So without me in the mix,
the one thing
that happens.
Yeah, you're usually in the mix on those high-priced guys.
If somebody goes for 60 for McCaffrey, I will not be clicking 61.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say they're probably maybe it's half the league potentially that could be in the mix. Like I could see Kat in the mix. I could see Joe Bryan in the mix. Mike.
I could see Joe Bryan being in the mix, and he might be the main driver behind driving somebody's up. Yeah, that's definitely possible.
But when I think of like historically, me and Joe Mancuso, probably not. Riley, I don't think so. Johnny, I don't see it. Gates and Winecoop, again, I don't think they go. So I feel like we're probably six people, then maybe two go 65. That'd be impressive if you nail that one.
This league loves Christian McCaffrey. I said it last year in this very episode of this podcast when I predicted McCaffrey to go for at least as much as Barkley. And granted, that was helped a little bit by the fact that he was the last one to go of the top three when there's like a clear three last year. Him, Kamara, and Barkley were the top three last year. But they both ended up going for 64. This league just absolutely loves from the moment that he was born out of the womb of the NFL draft. This league has been all in on Christian McCaffrey.
From the moment he came out of the sperm of Ed McCaffrey, this league has loved him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gelt, I'm sure that brought a big smile to Mike's face, hearing you say that.
He didn't wear gloves, man. Didn't wear gloves.
Sorry, did you say I'm up there, Chief?
Yeah, well, I said you got some more. So
I've got a ton.
Let's go one at a time.
Two players over 65. I'm gonna say we only have one wide receiver go over 50, which is, I don't know that that's too bold of a prediction. I believe, would it take 8-9 years? Joe, was it last year that we finally broke the $50 barrier? I can't remember if it was 2018, 2019, where it finally happened. We had a receiver go for 50, but I think we'll have one receiver go for 50, and that's it.
Michael Thomas, and then that's it, maybe.
Yeah, I'm getting. And the thing is, maybe we revert back to not having anyone go above 50. But I just, when I was thinking of receivers, like, you know what, I feel like we get one.
I think that's.
Last year we had 5 receivers go for over 50. But we also had 7 receivers that were listed pre-draft value over 50, whereas this year we only have 1. So that'll probably be part of that driver. I don't have the rest of the years in front of me at the moment, but just a little recent context at least. But the receivers last year, I was planning to go heavy receiver and it just went crazy. I didn't get any of them.
I think that's a good prediction because receiver is allegedly deep this year. I always say allegedly because, you know, it seems like every year analysts always say, hey, quarterback is deep this year. And then it's like, oh, at the end of the year, it's like, oh, if you own such and such quarterbacks, then you did much better than if you own these quarterbacks. And, you know, it always seems like a position group is deep until it's not, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like coming into the year, there's all these things about how this position's deep, and then it flips like right when the game starts. It's like, oh, but you should have maybe grabbed the top tier receiver because these people are head and shoulders above everybody else. But receiver is allegedly deep this year, so I do think that depth probably contributes to, oh, I'm not going to click 51 for Michael Thomas. I'll just pass and wait for Chris Godwin or Julio or something like that.
You go, Joe.
I was going to say part of it, I think, is that if you look at the receivers who went for over 50 last year, Beckham, Hopkins, Devonta Adams, Juju, and Michael Thomas, really only Michael Thomas paid off, I would say. So Hopkins was fine, but Devonta was hurt. Beckham was awful. So Juju was awful and hurt. That might stick in some people's craw. I don't know. But in 2018, there's also five receivers who went for 50.
I've got a couple here that are running back related. So one that I had following up on Joe's comment about 65, I had written that I think three running backs go for 60 or more. Which perhaps would be,
that feels like a lot.
Which again, I think it could be a lot. I mean, though last year, it depends on if we follow last year's trend. Last year was by far the most aggressive we've ever seen people. The last 2 years, we've seen some real, real aggression at running back. And then I also had an up and a down. I think Carson, who's listed at what, like 25, I think he goes for over 30. And I have Henry, who is listed at high 50s or 60. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. I say he goes for 47 or lower. Thoughts?
Fair.
Henry's listed at 59.
I think that's smart. Low 50s, maybe.
It's pretty much a given back in the day that whoever got Marshawn Lynch was like, oh, wait, I'm getting Marshawn Lynch for like 39. He was listed at 60. What? How did the bidding just stop there? I've seen to somebody every single year. I think it happened to you once with DeMarco Murray as well, I know.
Yeah, let's not talk about that year. to your point, though, this league tends to value their pass-catching running backs that high, which is one of the reasons why the Derrick Henrys of the world don't, even though he's listed at 59, is not going to go for that much because we just prefer running backs that are like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to go for more than Derrick Henry. Probably. I don't know what Helaire's price.
I don't know about that.
I bet you he goes for more.
I mean, I was thinking Helaire. Like,
he's going to go for more than
Derrick Henry. I don't agree with that. I think this year more than any other year, right? With the uncertainty, there's always uncertainty with rookies, but specifically this year when rookies literally have not started working out with their teams until like last month, they're so far behind. I believe Edwards-Helaire will be the most expensive rookie. I do not believe that he will go for more than someone like Derrick Henry.
So where do you think he goes?
High 40s. I could see high 40s, like 48. I could see that easily.
Well, I just told you Henry's going for 47 or lower. So Edwards-Helaire would be pricier.
I just can't see it. But you know, one of the things that I think is an X factor in this whole thing is we have an owner that is drafting that we have not drafted with in 10 plus years or ever. So we don't know what he values and the kind of stuff that he would go after. And so I think he might throw a wrench into some people's plans just because of
I don't know what to expect from him.
I don't think
Riley knows what to expect from himself at this point.
Is scheming and like staying up late at night to figure out draft strategy or anything like that.
That's my point. Is that if he's going chalk, then he would look at the ESPN predictions and go, "Oh, CEH is you just said or Joe said you said $57. Then why is he only going for 48? Bid. Like he might end up doing that, and he might end up price enforcing where we wouldn't normally price enforce.
See, Chaz, you have given this some thought.
Yeah, ESPN's a little aggressive with Hilaire, but I will say I have just a hard time resisting the Andy Reid running backs, but he's high priced for his risk profile. So we'll see. If he dives down, if he peters out in mid-40, Chaz, you expect to see me there, sir.
I don't know. I mean,
that's what I mean. The prospect of the starting running back without Damian Williams there and Andy Reid's running back or Andy Reid's backfield is going to keep, like Joe said, if he's in the low 40s, expect to see me there. So, and even I might throw my hat in the ring if that's the case. So already there, you've got two people willing to go into the low 40s for him. So, you know, how much higher is it going to get?
Yeah, it's such a wild card. I don't know what to do with him.
Yep. Was your other one Carson Gelch?
Carson.
Yeah, this league seems, between you and me and maybe Chaz, this league likes itself some Chris Carson. So I could see that.
I will not
Mancuso be likes some Carson Chris too. Carson too.
Mm-hmm. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yep. The problem is, if you look, and Gelch and I were talking about this, so I agree with his prediction. If you look just at running back by the pre-draft values, it goes from Eckler at 51, and then there's not another running back until Carson at 25. And of the running backs down there, he's the only one that you're feeling like excited about drafting for a little bit. You got Fournette, you got David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Jonathan Taylor, Connor, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell. And then you're into like rookies and timeshares after that. Oh, so people are going to look at that and they're going to be like,
you're absolutely right. That second tier of running backs is an absolute mess. Yeah, it's awful. I don't know. Yeah, but you're right though. People are going to look at it and say, "I need a second running back. Let me Chris Carson. Let me grab him." I think you're right.
I mean, those guys are certainly cheap. So I mean, it's not like you're going to be killing your team by getting one, and they should get volume, but it's not something you're going to be excited about. Like, Joe Ryan's not getting any of those guys that I just mentioned. Zero of those players. No, thank you, sir. Joe Ryan, heavy on receivers this year.
Joe Ryan, I've been on a cold streak. Holy cow. Joe and I have been putting a couple shekels down together here and there. We started off, we won our first NBA bet, and then it was just loss. And then for those, I don't know if anyone was watching the BMW Championship today, but Dustin Johnson cost the two of us a few pesos after sinking a 41-foot putt. Oh,
I heard John Rahm sunk like a 60-footer for the win.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a tall task for him to sink two putt, and he drained it from more than 60 feet. It was insane. But alas, I think that's a great point that for Joe O'Brien, it's who moves the needle. And if it's not someone who's going to kind of stir something within him, he's going to just move on to the next guy.
Tyreek Hill. He'll have Tyreek Hill again. Yeah, Joe O'Brien will own Tyreek Hill again this year. In some way, shape, or form, he will have Tyreek Hill on his team. He didn't last year. He didn't last year, but then he ended up trading for Tyreek Hill after like the furor calmed down of like, oh, nobody wants to have Tyreek Hill on their team because he seems like a bad dude. So he didn't draft him so that he was the guy. He wasn't the guy that drafted Tyreek Hill. But when everything died down, he made a trade for him. He will have Tyreek Hill on his team again this year.
So, No, I was just saying. Getting into a little bit of the team specific predictions. What I had written down for Joe O'Brien, my team specific one for him, that he will get either or at least one of Tyreek Hill or DK Metcalf.
Oh, that's fun. I like it. I had one of the Bucks receivers for him. Yeah. You go back in.
I like him getting one of the Bucks receivers instead of DK Metcalf. I bet you he looks at Seattle's offense and is like, "Eh, they don't throw enough." But the Chiefs definitely do, and the Bucks definitely will with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. So I like him maybe targeting Godwin.
He went big on running backs last year, and he couldn't get out of that fast enough. I think he's come over to the dark side of the receivers. Calvin Ridley, could totally see him.
I was thinking Calvin Ridley train as well. That's where I was. No, I won't. I
won't, maybe you, maybe for you, Chaz. I wouldn't be surprised.
You guys may have noticed a pattern that I tend to be in on guys right before they blow up. I've had a good history of predicting people that way. Right, Thielen, Godwin, Ridley. They always blow up the year after I get them. They have a better year, but they also cost way more. So I will not be getting Ridley because I think his price is going to be way too high.
You should get him, man. You know he's going to blow up.
Fortunately, he's not one of my ones.
Fighting against your own logic here, Chaz.
He's not one. No, but it's a cost-benefit analysis of what they cost to get to the blow-up.
I know, I get it.
I've got other people. Yeah, I am.
You're swimming against the current, my friend. No, Ridley looks good this year, though. He's everybody's favorite for this year's Chris Godwin. It's only for $30.
40 targets that have opened up on the Falcons offense, and also they're projected to have the worst defense in the NFC South. So there's an expectation that from game script and also because of the targets that they'll be throwing a lot. And so Ridley will kind of step into that. And also, after they traded, was it Mohamed Sanu last year? Ridley was like the wide receiver 7 the rest of the games, the rest of the way. So everyone is on Ridley, just like everyone was on Godwin the year before. So I'm always looking to that next person that you guys aren't thinking about yet. So I've got my guys pinned down, and I'll get them I'll get them, and they'll be cheaper than they should be.
I'd like to do a real-time fact check here. Just that you can. I am going back to your comment at the beginning. I refuse to believe that you have done zero preparation or no more than an hour preparation when you just said that 223 targets have opened up and that they're predicted to have the worst defense in their division.
So I will clarify.
That sounds like somebody who's done zero work.
That's not zero work. I put in. Those are facts that came from a podcast I just listened to today. Well, that's doing prep work. I listen to podcasts. I wouldn't say I haven't done prep work, but I've listened to some podcasts that's doing prep work. That's information being absorbed into my brain. I may not be reading articles, but I'm consuming fantasy football content.
All right, now that we can move past it, I just wanted to call attention.
Oh, dear. I haven't done any work, but I heard this on a podcast that I was listening to. It's not like you were walking down the street, Chaz, and somebody was blaring a fantasy football podcast.
No, definitely not. But
Atlanta's offense is losing 222 targets.
You have to understand that. To me, that's not putting in prep work. That's just me listening to a podcast. Every year, I put in a lot of work in terms of like researching and data drops and things like that. That I'm like. I'm actively doing research and work to identify the players I want and the strategy I'm going to go after. So by that method,
I also have done zero work for the last 5 years.
That's my main way of preparation. So clearly the way I like to approach things doesn't work. So maybe this year it'll be different.
To the general prep versus the draft side of things, almost, you know, unless you're going to be right on your or get the right data or the right views on stuff, like 80% of the time, it's almost more important to be able to navigate the draft to maximize value and to be able to pivot when things don't go well than it is to prep. So I don't spend a ton of time prepping beyond like, I just either like some guys or I don't like guys. And then I just jot down teams. I either like it or I don't. And then I jot down another team and I just try to guess at the values. But if I don't guess the top guys, right, I've noticed I don't have good enough backup plans. I just kind of float through the draft afterwards, which hasn't worked out poorly by any means, but you kind of have to I have more backup plans this year if I mess out on my top guys. Let's just say that. Everything will be blown up if I get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I won't be sad, though.
I have zero backup plans. I barely have any plans. I have my guys. I have my little pool of guys. So if I get into a bidding war with one of them and it gets out of control, then I just, you know, say, all right, well, that person really wanted him more than me. On to the next one. And that's that.
At least you don't have with Gates on his cone with Winecoop team, the goop, at least you don't have pure unadulterated Gates. Cause that was always a worry. You can never go on drafts with like your guys when Gates was out there. Like you just knew. I remember DeAndre Hopkins rookie year. I really wanted him. He was like, maybe it was the second year. He was like pre-draft like $12, and I was like, I'll go like 16 on him, like DeAndre Hopkins. And like, I start bidding against Gates, and he's just clearly he has so much money left, and I'm just like, okay. I just text in chat. It's like, Gates, how high are you going on there? It's like, no limit. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Just never was an option.
What other predictions do folks have?
I will end up with at least two 49ers somehow, some way. Because it's the team I know the most. So, you know, I'll hone in on the guys I want from the 49ers and maybe throw a deep kind of sleeper who I think might emerge. But I will own at least two 49ers when all is said and done.
I'll throw a few out here. Well, one was going to be Goop was going to end up with Jalen Reagor, but that might not happen now that he got hurt today. The other one was going to be that rookie wide receiver line of thought. That was that Joe ends up with at least two rookie wide receivers on his bench. And Kat, of all the Kat players, that one of the ones she's going to get, even more likely than Kyler Murray, is AJ Brown.
Yeah. She had Cooper Kupp last year too, right? I thought you were gonna say Cooper Kupp.
She did. She had Cooper Kupp and Thielen and Galladay were her core receivers for a while. Thielen got hurt. AJ Brown came in for a bit. She had another receiver too. Okay. I can't remember.
I've got down here that I think at least 8 tight ends are gonna go for $5 or more. Which is a little bit higher than what the prices would suggest. I think we've got a lot of after the top guys, a lot of people listed at like $1 or so, or then a couple at 4. And then I'm going to say that I think Thielen goes for more than DJ Moore, even though DJ Moore is listed just ahead of Thielen. Yeah, I feel like
interesting.
I feel like our league has greater familiarity with Thielen. And I also feel like our league could have a little bit of skepticism with Teddy Bridgewater. And so so I was actually torn when I was putting a prediction down for your team, Mancuso. I was torn between DJ Moore and Kenny Galladay. And I went with Galladay, but I kind of wanted to hedge and say maybe if not Galladay, then perhaps Moore. I feel like high likelihood that you're going to get one of those two receivers.
I will not comment at this time.
What does my team look like for you, Gelch?
So my prediction for you is that I had you down, and you were actually one of the tougher ones for me to pin, being that I didn't get to listen in on your fantasy chat this Friday, was that I said that you're going to get Edwards-Helaire. I think I had him ended up on your squad.
Interesting. Yeah, you never know. It could.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a tale as old as time that you're going to be in the mix on one of the top like 3 to 5 guys, and try to time it to get a little bit of a
I don't know.
The value on
maybe. I will say I'm not going above 60, though. Much I've decided.
So this is now as I'm putting the reading the tea leaves here, I kind of feel like Heino might be going in with the old running back strategy of, oh, I'm just going to get one of these top two or three guys. And maybe he's doing that with quarterback. He's just going to go in for whoever's nominated first out of Lamar or Mahomes. He's just going to go big on one of them and take whoever it is, and then trust that whoever gets nominated second goes for a little bit more. So maybe that's his plan. That's why he's not going as big at RB.
Could be.
You got to watch out for Rachel with Lamar now that he's so fun. She's a Ravens fan, and she has been on the Joe O'Brien. This is going to be fun, guys. Train. Mostly relative to the super teams. Maybe she just wants to have a lot of fun and get Lamar. Maybe even Hollywood.
Who's the running back that all the
go Ravens
are raving about from the Ravens? No pun intended.
Dobbins?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's wordplay.
Is that him?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, again, rookie.
JK. He ends up with him.
You know, it's same issue. And you got Ingram there. I don't think Dobbins
and,
could be.
And Gus.
Sure. I don't think
Gus is going to be catching the bus at the end of the season.
So is Ingram. Dobbins is a future.
Wow. Is this an interview for the Ravens beat writer job?
Man. So I'm just looking over. I think I've gone through all mine, except I'll go just through all my team ones. And I know I said some of these before. So I've got Mancuso with Galladay or Moore. I've got Chaz getting Lamar. I say Tim gets either Keenan Allen or Juju. We got Goop getting Cup. Mike getting Dalvin or Eckler. Mentioned Joe getting Tyreek or Metcalf. Got Rachel getting Mixon. Kat getting Murray. And Riley drafting Le'Veon Bell. Oh, and actually, Johnny getting either Aaron Jones or Josh Jacobs. And I mentioned Heino getting Edwards-Helaire just right before. So those are my team specific.
Interesting.
Ones.
Very interesting.
I will note last year I threw out a prediction of I think it was of Weinkoop and Gates getting Cook, even though he was my top guy that I was targeting. That was a little bit of some subterfuge. But yeah, those are my predictions.
I like it.
I was pretty confident. Galchi, I think you may be interested in some Chubb this year.
I'm not.
It's just my two cents. You don't have to say anything.
That was me not saying anything.
Depends on what kind of Chubb it is.
Yeah, a lot of potential jokes to be made there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now. That'll be interesting to see. Just
make sure to wear your glove.
Approach the Cleveland backfield. Just from I don't plan on being involved in any of that. I don't want a part of that mess. But not that it's a mess, but like, I don't know that I would want to pay that much for Nick Chubb with Kareem Hunt standing right there. I don't know.
Yeah, we got a Kubiak disciple in the house and an improved offensive line though. So that's the.
What about any thoughts on those ones I threw out? Any that you think could be right?
On Tim, I didn't have this beforehand, but you saying that makes me think that Tim might get I don't want to say either. I'm changing it again. Josh Jacobs because he loves the Raiders.
Yeah, no,
Tim,
unless
Tim,
he's
Tim,
doesn't
Tim
feel
might,
like,
bro, Raiders.
Tim might go back. Did Tim have Fournette last year? Tim might go back to the Fournette well because Fournette's not a trendy pick, but Tim will be like, he was my only good player last year, not knowing that like the Jaguars secretly hate him. So I could see Tim like putting a bid in on Fournette and then everybody just stops and Tim ends up with Fournette again. Yeah.
Okay, I got Fournette, guys. Yeah, I'll take it. I'm not mad about it. I was thinking the same thing, but for Derrick Henry, just because it's kind of the same story as Fournette last year, where it's one of those guys where the bidding's just going to stop, and somebody's going to be like, oh, okay, I'm all right with that. But that might end up actually being Johnny for me. Johnny might up with Derrick Henry again. You know, he just drafted him in the other league, so he'd probably be less interested too. I don't think Derrick Henry's a bad pick by any means. I just think that's just going to be one of the bidding stops.
With the Jones or Jacobs for Johnny, one of those guys who like where the bidding just stops and it's like, huh, okay, like yeah, that price was a little bit less than we all anticipated, and so I.
Now we're gonna sit here. We're going to sit here after the draft, and there's going to be a couple of that second-tier running backs that slip down a little bit while people are trying to catch their breath from the first opening salvo, or maybe they get maybe somebody sneaks one into the mix ahead of time, and they go lower. Maybe they go higher in that case. I don't know. But there's going to be one or two of them that slip down. And after the draft, we're going to be looking at somebody's team and be like, oh, man, you got Aaron Jones for 40? That's pretty good. How'd that happen?
I'm not drafting.
As you're looking at your own team,
AJ Dillon's thunder thighs the other day. That scared me away from any Aaron Jones bid. Thunder thighs is going to be playing sooner than later. How could you leave that guy out?
I've heard reports from Packers beat writers that he was sitting fourth on the depth chart, being behind like Tyler Irvin, But the Packers have been doing some weird stuff by like not letting their beat writers even report on the team anymore, essentially. Like weird rules. Matt LaFleur is really weird. I do not trust him at all. That'll be the only
Matt LaFleur was draft strategy that I will unveil. For a while there in Tennessee and didn't really use him, if I recall correctly.
Does Joe O'Brien submit a bid at all at any point on Derrick Henry?
Yes.
No, you can just go through and list the people at the zero chance Joe O'Brien bids.
Okay, oh yeah, there we go. Okay, all right. Rogers.
Yeah. Fournette is another one. Zero chance he bids on Sony Fournette.
Michelle.
I gotta pull up the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very unlikely. Yeah. But it's really cheap. I'm trying to go through
Jacobs isn't a huge pass catcher either, so probably not Jacobs.
Yeah, probably not. He's probably not going back on Chubb once Kareem Hunt took some of the pass catching work.
Joe's rookie wide receiver du jour is going to be Chase Claypool. I bet you that's the one rookie wideout that he ends up getting. Although, who knows?
Let's keep throwing up there. I bet he's getting maybe even Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, is that how you say his name?
Maybe he will, because I was going to target Ayuk, but not with a hamstring injury. I'm not targeting Brandon Ayuk. That's tough.
Yeah, hamstrings are tough. I mean, Denver really know how long they're
doing really well in camp, but yeah, not with a hamstring injury. No, thank you, ma'am. Especially with Debo, like Kendrick Bourne might be the guy to own for the first like 3 weeks of the season in San Francisco, because he's going to be the only competent wide receiver that's taken the field. Otherwise, they're going to be rolling out like Dante Pettis and their kick returner Richie James.
I think we're going to see a higher number of injuries this year through the first few weeks, because of no preseason games and then people having to kind of go right into full action mode. I think you're just going to see way more injuries than normal. So I'm not looking forward to the rash of teams that are decimated by just having like, you know, they just happen to have the wrong one or two players that get injured and their season ends before it starts. I'm fairly positive that's what's going to end up happening. I don't see any other way around it.
Yeah,
you know, usually we're protected.
I think it's a smart thing to predict. Right? Yeah, I think it's a smart.
Every
thing
year
to
there's preseason games, and we draft after them, or at least after the third. So like we're past all that. So the people that get hurt, but you know, and what was it today? Jalen Reagor got hurt, right? So it's just gonna keep hearing news. It's gonna keep happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. It starts next weekend. Like
10 days out
right?
from the season.
Like that's...
Yep.
Sorry, 2 weekends.
Not next weekend, but the the Thursday after. Yes,
yeah, yeah.
So next weekend is the last weekend with no NFL football. I selfishly pushed the draft a little forward because a couple people had Labor Day plans, and we could have done it after Labor Day for a little less injury uncertainty. This is around when we normally do it, but I wanted to make sure that we had the draft before like any like crazy coronavirus stuff happens. Yeah, so we can have a draft. Yeah. It's just the draft.
Yeah, that works. Anybody else? Any last minute predictions?
Hi.
Chaz, I think last year you predicted a cat to
win. Well,
I said
to win next outside of me. So, yeah, I guess I did. And so, yeah. Yeah.
That was a great prediction last year. You're welcome. And that was the year of Celia.
You're welcome for your title. So, let's see. Who should I bestow the title upon this year? Outside of me. I think you're going to see, finally, a LaBarge championship. Ooh. And I'm not going to tell you who. I think one of the LaBarges wins, outside of me. Johnny. It's definitely not going to be Tim.
1 in 6 shot.
Oh, man.
I cannot top that final prediction, so I'm out. All bullets have been fired.
Who got the hex last year? Who did I give the hex to? Was it Gates? Was it Goop?
Goop, yeah.
Goop, yeah.
It was Goop. Okay. It was Goop.
All right.
That's my prediction to win this year. Goop. Goop climbs the mountain.
I'll say we don't make it through and we don't have a title winner. I think the NFL will get the season through one way or another. I'll go Joe O'Brien.
Interesting.
Yeah. He has.
He's been knocking on the door the last few years. A couple of really solid teams.
I'll go with him.
I will predict that we have a finals matchup between multi winners. So people who have won at least 2 league titles.
Whoa. Oh, good. So I'm in the mix for that. Good. No.
Sorry, 2 auction league titles to clarify. We'll see. I assume that you're only hoping that it's a second bean week because of the way my team responded last year, Joe, after oatmeal raisin week. We responded appropriately. We met later.
Oh, yes. I was worried it was going to come back upon me.
I can assure you that our team's locker room, that gesture has not been forgotten, nor will it ever be. And at some moment, or perhaps at even some moments, you shall expect swift and fierce retribution.
I've been waiting for it, to be honest. I don't know if you recall that I sent Gelch the box of oatmeal raisin cookies before we played in 2018. And then it was a pretty high scoring match. It was like 145 to like 130 or something. It was up there. It's quite the win. First ever win at Gelsha in our league.
That's true for my
squad.
All right. So we'll call it there. I think that's about an hour of content. So that's pretty good for our first one back. I don't think we're going to be doing weekly recaps. We might. I think we'll start off with good intentions to do so. To try and do weekly episodes for you. No promises, though. We'll have to see how it goes. But thanks to everyone for joining tonight. It was a fun discussion. I am looking forward to our draft tomorrow. Definitely probably one of the highlights of the fall outside of actual football not getting canceled, right? That'll be a good thing to celebrate. But beyond that, I think that's all we can look forward to, right?
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour. Bye.